There are so many women out there that are taking a stand against gender inequality and are paving the way for the future generation. Ordinary women that are creating a more inclusive and powerful society, free from stereotypes, racism and sexism. And I'm here to share their stories with all of you. Stay tuned, because this is WEN Power, your source of inspiring, powerful and positive stories. And I'm here to discover how we can change the narrative, one story at a time. I am your host, Ilaria Biancacci, journalist and founder of WEN Power.
Welcome to a new episode of WEN Power Podcast. Today, we are here with Priyanka. She's a team leader for the Period Protection Project in Jaipur, India. And she's here with us today to talk a little bit more about her community engagement and how she's working to raise awareness on period poverty in India, and what is the job that she's doing on the field, especially in slum areas. So thank you very much, Priyanka, for being with us today. It's really a pleasure and an honor for me to have you as a guest on my podcast.
Thank you so much, Ilaria, for having me here. I don't have much experience regarding how to really talk on podcasts, so I will just be as casual as I could and as candid, but the work that I've been doing is very integral to my life.
Don't worry, we take it very like if it was just a conversation on the phone with your friend. So really, no, I know there can be stressful first interviews, you know. you are a bit nervous, but I'm sure you're gonna be.
You're very nice. You're very accommodating.
Yeah,
I must say that.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So my first question for you, just also to bring all the audience on your journey, on your path, is to understand how and when did you decide to start working to raise awareness on period poverty? How did this journey start?
So since my college days, I've always been active in volunteering with many organizations that basically serve for women, for gender equality, because living in Jaipur, especially, I've seen how women get treated. I am that person who has seen patriarchy happening and patriarchy happening as if it is just casual. So it has always been a dream to work for women, and I will continue to do so. So what happened with me is I was in a workshop, and I would like to really thank Gurmeer Kaur here, because through her, I got to know about this organization. So Gurmeer Kaur is one of the professors of Ashoka University and author of two books. So I was attending her workshop in which she gave us an assignment to submit our works to a particular organization for the awareness campaign. Mm-hmm. And I was thrilled as a writer. I was thrilled to be a part of this. And then I got to know that this is a small organization. So what happened is rejection. My piece did not get selected because what I wrote was not directly linked to the pieces they wanted. So, but I had this urge in me that I want to, you know, work for this organization, even if it's not an article. So what happened later on is that I texted them, reached out to them that I want to work, how can I work? And that time there were no team leaders for the Period Protection Project. Right now we are operating in 5 cities. Mm-hmm. That time only we were operating in Kolkata, that is West Bengal. Mm-hmm. So I reached out to the founder of the Period Protection, that is Sukanya Vishwas. Very ambitious, young, driven woman, I must say. Earlier, initially, she was like, oh, maybe you could do it. She did not take me seriously. But I had this grit in me because, why? Now, this is very personal and a very dear information to mine. And I would like to tell this to everyone. And I've shared it before also. My mother is educated. She is educated. She was actually a teacher. But due to lack of awareness only, she was using cloth as sanitary napkin. Mm. which did not, thankfully, which did not result in any disease, but I saw her using that. But and that really always, I always pondered on this question that why mom uses this, why my mother is not going to, not, you know, using the proper menstrual hygiene products. She didn't know. That was the one thing. She didn't know. She didn't know. She had these taboos in her mind. She had these pre-notions, preconceived notions. So that's how I wanted to work. That actually, the, I want to, herein I want to also acknowledge founders, Kanya Vishwas, who also started this because she used to personally suffer. So as women, as menstruators, we all have this community. Whenever, right now, this is whenever you go to a college, you know, I was in a girls' college, we used to look out for each other, hand out pads to each other. Then I started working for this. So what happened initially, I did not have any funds. What I did is crowdfunding. I took some money from my pocket money. It's a youth organization. We are turning into an NGO, registered NGO soon, hopefully. I took some money from some of my friends who really wanted to be contributors. I arranged a WhatsApp group somehow. I went online, social media, created awareness. I'm right now going to lead a team in Jaipur. And to my shock, or shall I say a blissful surprise, many of the young girls young people were really, really excited about this. They wanted to be a part of this. They wanted to be my volunteers. Hmm. And at that moment, you know, it is a joyful moment because earlier I was thinking, okay, I cannot make this happen. Who will come with me? I think I will go alone with my... So when you go for the distribution drives, how we do it is, we usually buy the pads. We try to make sure it's of the optimum quality in the best budget so that we can give more. We give around 1 month supply to in a packet, and we pack it in a sustainable manner. So, and also with a tag, so that people, and also when we give it to them, when we go to the slums, we make sure we try to tell them the price also.
Hmm.
So I will tell you some instances wherein you will get to know how much lack of awareness can do harm to people. But right now, I'm just telling you about the first distribution drive which happened. It happened around, I think it's been 8 months or 9 months now. It happened at that point of time. And I was, you know, I was scared. Ki, oh, no one will come. But everybody showed up before me. And
that's,
it was
amazing.
It was really, it was indeed. And we all went and they were like, you know, I was like, will someone take our pets? Will someone actually, you know, listen to us? And they were like, no, whatever happens, we are going to distribute this. And so as a team leader, what you have to do is you do everything, but also you have to make sure that your volunteers that you choose are the ones who are really in for this, who really want to create something, who really want to create a change. Mm-hmm. Not someone who is in it for fame or... you know, how to put it, you know. So that's what I wanted to do. So yeah, that's how it happened. The first distribution drive went in a massive, massive success. It was a massive success because we went to the slum. Although it was overwhelming experience because I realized that how privileged I am. And all of us were really shocked that we are blind. Even though I've done the work before, but I'm blind. I don't really see the world through the eyes of the people who are, you know, who are deprived of such basic amenities. So when we went, when you go to a slum with a packet, usually the kids think that it's food. So we had to tell them it's not food. And then their sisters came, sisters or mothers or somebody came, and we told them in Hindi language or in the usually the local dialect. So it's easier for them to understand us because you cannot, you know, I cannot communicate with them in a very sophisticated English language, which they won't understand. So I went there with my team. We all interacted with them, kept talking with them. We told them if you have any issues. So we just don't, we not only talk about menstruation, we also talk about how to, you know, how you can use menstrual supply. Other than that, how you can actually detect some diseases that occur due to this, symptoms that happen. Because in India, if you look at the facts and figures, there are many instances of, how to put it, deaths or various diseases that happen just because of lack of menstrual hygiene. So then we went on. So first distribution drive happened. It was a success. Then what happened is we decided to collaborate with Rajasthan University Women's Association, which was founded in 1976.
Okay.
So it was a big deal. As students, the young students, as I told you, I took pocket money, college going girls, just some people. So that's how it started. When we collaborated with these professors who are already working, who have worked for the National Commission for Women, who have done so much work in their life. So when we started collaborating, it was a collaboration. So we went to their shelter home. It's called Rajasthan Ruba Shakti Stam Shelter Home. I still remember the date vividly because I was shaking. Oh my God, how will I pull this again? But this time I was a little bit confident due to support, extensive support provided by my teachers, especially Preeti Chaudhary ma'am, who stood through me through all the negotiations, all the emails, all the collaboration formalities. She was there. I went there and we started with the panel discussion. It was panel discussion about how menstruation is a taboo in our society, everything else. I gave a long speech there. And then lovely moments that happened there actually was that one of the menstruators who was not really educated, who was trying to get education in that shelter home, stood up and said, "This is wrong. Why do they treat us like this? This is not wrong. We should be allowed to go to temples, and we should not be treated like we should not be treated like untouchables. We should be treated normally. It is a normal thing." Mm-hmm. The society needs to understand it now. People need to move on. Then, because it was not some professor or someone who had read books or someone who had done or who had gotten a lot of education saying, it was someone who listened to us and then spoke up. So it was a change, and in there, that moment really made me feel that I did something.
I think it's really important what you're doing, and also when you want to work to make a change like you're doing with period poverty, and other girls like you see you fighting for this, I think they feel very encouraged to speak up, because normally this is the problem when we're trying to make a change. If we don't see someone that look like us and speak a language that we do understand and that talks about situation that we can relate to, it's really hard to say, okay, I'm on board with it. I want to make this change with you. But you are a girl. You went to the university. You spoke to them. And they saw you as an inspiration. And it was like, okay, yeah, it's actually not right what is happening. So, you know, what are we going to do about it? And I think it's really inspirational, the job you're doing. And the fact that you got the support as well from the Rajasthan Women Association, and that you managed to bring such an important institution with you on board in a very short time. It just says a lot about the work you are doing. So
It's really amazing. I have to say that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I wouldn't say it is we have completed or we have created a change, but it is indeed, I try to be as interactive and as grounded. I don't try to be in a shell in which I am somebody's leader or I am the the leader or I am the boss kind of attitude. I just go there, I act like their younger sister. And that's how we create, we tell them. So next day, later on, we had in this collaboration, we planned a menstrual hygiene management session in a primary school in a rural area.
Okay.
Which is out of, on the outskirts of Jaipur, to be precise. It's in a village.
Mm-hmm.
It's a village dominated by people who are tribals, who have just, I don't want to call it orthodox, but yeah, they are a little bit behind from the urban people. That's what I can say here. So when we went there in that school, what I did before, I had to pre-plan. I went there, I talked to an ASHA worker who arranged everything. I told her that I will be coming and I want to do an awareness session. And it's funny that I feel that no one will collaborate, and everybody was so happy to collaborate. Everybody was so, you know, in it. Yeah, obviously we want it. I talked to a man, Sarpanch, an elderly man who was there. He gave me full support. He told me, please do this work for this village. We will be grateful if you do this. So we went to that primary school, me and Sukanya. And we went there, we actually, to these young girls in the primary school, it was a primary school, yeah. Aged around, they were about to get menstruation or they might have gotten, it's somewhere around that. So we went there to teach them how you get menstruation, what is it about, the scientific aspects of it. And one of my volunteers was very dear to me. Actually explained the whole method of using a sanitary napkin to a bunch of kids who live in rural area. And then we all had a really good interactive section there. We distributed chocolates to these kids. These girls were really, really, we distributed on diagrams, and they really asked us questions. They kept asking us questions again and again, that why this is a taboo, scientific aspects, to even mythological aspects, some of them. And it was such an enthralling experience that this one was so enthralling because I was filled with around, I would have to say 50 girls. 50 girls are sitting and listening to my whole team talking about, even my brother was there. In India, it is usually a taboo. Especially Rajasthan, to have a man in the room and, you know, talk about periods. But my brother gave a whole session, I think 1 or 2 minute session, about how he tried to accommodate or tried to normalize how he and I normalize the fact that periods are just normal. And that's how the girls also saw this. And one of them said, I will go home and talk to my brother about this. Hmm. Because this is not something to hide. And the young girls, they are only 12 years old. And now I just want to, as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking, okay, that 12-year-old will tomorrow give birth to a generation which will also be full of the awareness. And that's how and my team, I'm grateful to the team here. I'm not there because one person cannot do all the work.
No, of course not. You need the support of other people that believe in the same cause you believe in, so that you can reach more and more women day after day, and you can really bring your knowledge and your experience to empower other women and to show the community you live in that this is has to stop. Period is a normal thing. If every single human being is on this planet, it's because women menstruate. So for me,
even in Italy, when I was younger and I was growing up, I remember with my classmates, we were around 12, 13 years old. So it was just, you know, the first periods. And we were so ashamed at school. And I remember like passing tampons or pads around the classroom and the boys just laughing at us. But we were there to look out for each other, you know, because we were all in the same situation. And I still realize that now I'm 35, I live in the UK, and I travel around the world a bit. And period is something that just men in society doesn't like to talk about. And it's not okay, because it's a very normal and natural thing. And also the prices for all the sanitary products. Here in the UK, there's been a big fight, and it's still going on, to reduce the tax on tampons. It's the same in Italy, in America. They are considered like luxury products when it's not, because to have period is not a luxury. Actually, can be also very painful and challenging at times. So I believe that what you're doing, what other associations are doing around the world to raise awareness, to say we won't be ashamed anymore to talk about our periods. It's something that we really need, and we have to do it every day, because this has to change. Because it's very normal, it's very natural. So there is nothing we need to hide. It's just part of the cycle of a human being, of women. So yeah.
Indeed. It is a part of our life. It is the natural, it happens every month. It happens every month, or it happens to give by childbirth. It happens to nurture a new generation. Why should it be treated like as if it is something, as if it is a sin. If you know, in Hinduism, women are not allowed to enter temples because we are called impure. In those 7 days, apparently 7 days, and there are so many taboos around it in society. They cannot touch the pickle. You cannot go to the kitchen. You cannot go to the kitchen to cook. When I went to the school, one of the parents said that, oh, no, we don't allow girls to go to the kitchen. And then another girl revolted there, because she said, why not go to the kitchen? What is happening?
What's the problem? Enter the kitchen if you're on your period?
It seems illogical in 2022 or 2021.
It was illogical even before, but now more than ever, it doesn't really make sense to... women outside the social environment or temples or religious places or the kitchen or room of the house, just because you think she's not pure and she's dirty or whatever, because she is on her period. It's not something that we can still put up with.
I was having this conversation, indeed. I was having this conversation that women are treated as goddesses. We worship them. But at the same point of time, discard is so wrong. We also kind of, you know, segregate them from the society when these times come. I think in society, we need to move on. And when if I could share one instance from a slum I went to.
Yes, of course.
That also menstrual economics, as you were talking about this, my mind went there. You were talking about the price rates. So I went to a slum, and in which I was handing the packets to the women, and they asked me, I asked them, why don't you use it and everything? You should use it. It's not that expensive, because that girl was using something. I think she was using something. She was eating something which was of the same price of a packet of a sanitary napkin, and I asked her, why don't you use this? She said to me that it costs 60 rupees, 60 to 70 rupees, which is like threefold times. The lack of awareness, when they go to the medical store, people don't know that actual price of the sanitary napkin can actually be narrowed down for us, for those who have the money. For those who are the elite class, they can afford the expensive sanitary napkins, if I shall say so. But to those who are not, they can still go with the options which are affordable. And when I told her that the price is only 25 to 30 rupees, she was shocked. She told me, I will buy it next time and I will tell everyone. And she was so happy. So yeah. And also there is...
Sorry to interrupt you. I wanted to ask you, because we're talking about tampons and sanitary pads. Have you ever thought about spreading a bit the voice and awareness on a menstrual cup? Or this is something that is going to be a little bit hard to introduce?
Yeah, I'm actually wondering about this. Why? Because menstrual cup and when it comes to tampon in India is also linked to the concept of virginity. And which is also a very major taboo that comes into the society. I would have to really talk to my mother to use a menstrual cup. She would say, what if? So in India, virginity of a woman is treated as if it is a gift given to God, preserved for the husband. And which is completely scientifically unproven that how does menstrual cup affect virginity. So I shall be working on this because they are more sustainable and they work for the long term.
Exactly.
Definitely.
And it's an investment that will last longer, because tampons, even though maybe they don't have the opportunity to buy the more expensive or the more the nicer one, they can still go with the cheapest option, but still purchase tampons or pads. But that still generate waste, and it's still a payment that you need to do monthly, where the cup is an investment and is you protecting the planet a little bit more, but it's also something that you're gonna buy now and you're gonna use it for a very long period of time. So, but I do understand, obviously, the problems that this idea can put for the culture.
Yeah, the cultural aspect of it is very, it contradicts with the, you know, part of the my environmentalism. Herein I want to quote myself, I wrote something, my environmentalism contradicts with the cultural norms of the society. Because to really promote menstrual cup, I will have to really look into the various aspects. And I am, again, I'm saying I'm sure, but I would love to explore this idea in the near upcoming future, that how do it will happen, because many, some of the organizations have reached out to me regarding this. Actually, they told me that if you could go with the menstrual cups, it would be better and beneficial in the long term, because it lasts for around 5 to 10 years.
It's something very easy for the women to use, actually.
Yeah.
It doesn't require...
And it will be affordable.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I will be looking into it. And I shall be working into it. But currently, it's just that the people who don't even have the awareness about, you know, if something like sanitary pad exists, sanitary napkins exist. Some women I met, they had no idea that something like this exists. They only knew that only cloth is the rescue. Yeah.
I think you need to take a little baby steps.
But yeah, baby steps is the way.
These baby steps, they need to take your project far away. So make sure that you reach out to as many women as possible, and they start to become less of a taboo every day. So maybe in a few years we're gonna speak again, and you can tell me, oh, Ilaria, actually I finally managed to get a menstrual cup project on. So that would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be wonderful, Ilaria? I would be talking to you and telling you, listen, Ilaria, I distributed some menstrual cup and people were accepting, just like they accepted my sanitary pads earlier.
Exactly.
It would be such an awesome and massive change for this generation.
Indeed. I always ask him my, and I think this is going to be a very obvious answer from your side, but I ask to every guest on my podcast to tell me what is that they are fighting for today. So would you like to share this with us?
I'm fighting for equality. I'm fighting for equality in all, equality of opportunity. I'm fighting for the causes. I'm fighting for basic humanity. Since I was a since I was a kid, I've always been vocal about the issues that matter. I am anti-oppression. I am anti-stigma, and I will always be. I'm also constantly active with queer community. I also want to raise voice for them, be with them. I want to be an ally. And that's how I want to take my life forward, to stand on the right side of the history and look behind and think, okay, what I did at that moment of time was really worth my time. I was not wasting my years.
That's a really important thought, because, you know, sometimes we do things without thinking about not the consequence, but also the effect that we can make. But when you are aware that what you want to do is somehow to create a change, or just, you know, to inspire something, and then when you look back at that moment, you can be really proud of yourself. So I think you are on the right way for that. So keep doing the great job you're doing. And
you also, thank you for this wonderful opportunity.
You're really welcome. Actually, I wanted to say, hopefully she will be listening to this, I wanted to say a big thank you to Nasia, which was previously on our podcast, to
she arranged this meeting.
Yeah, she connected us, and I think we also need to say thank you to a social media.
Shout out. Yeah.
Yeah, which is Clubhouse, because I think all the connection, social media can be very tricky at some times, but at the same time, they can bring people from every corner of the world together and just, you know, share stories.
It's a
like
beautiful
yours.
Place. It could be beautiful.
Yeah. So
how we want to use it.
Nasia, if you're listening to us, thank you very much for this.
Thank you so much, Nasia. We love you.
And another, it's not the last question, but it's related to what I just asked you before, is what is that you wish to stop fighting for then?
What do I wish that I stop fighting for? I wish that I stop fighting for, you know, basic rights, basic human rights, which I know is a very big utopian idea of me, but a utopian idea that, oh, Priyanka is thinking that she won't be fighting for human rights. But I want to stop fighting for human rights. I wish there will be a day when all humans will be treated equally, irrespective of their gender, caste, creed. There shall be no discrimination. That's something I wish for. It's the same thing. And I also want to wish that someday in India, we will bridge the healthcare gap for a girl living in slum from a girl living in a Bangalore. Both of them can afford the sanitary pads, sanitary napkins. I wish that sanitary napkins and the menstrual supplies, everything will become free. I want taboos to go away. That's it.
Well, it's not an utopia, I can tell you that.
I hope so.
I'm a dreamer. No, it's not even a dreamer. I have the same approach to, I think, for these kind of things as you. So I even if it seems like a big, massive, and really challenging objective to reach, I think we are doing great. So we just need to keep pushing. And if there was an advice you would like to share with all the women, girls, men, everyone that is listening to this podcast right now, an advice or just a message to empower them, what would that be?
Yeah, sure. I don't know if I could share an advice, but I would love to spread a message that please, wherever you are, please treat everyone equally, all the humans equally. Please understand, put yourself in their shoes and look at the world through their lens, and then maybe you can be more empathetic. Be more empathetic in everyday lives. In the current pandemic, in the pandemic situation, we need to stick together. Maybe that's how. Be more conscious to the environment. Try to choose the right cause. Even if you are not actively participating, many of my volunteers did not actively participate, but they did donate even 50 rupees, which is a less amount for them, but it created a lot of impact for the girls who are using those pads. So I just want to say, please be empathetic and love the world.
Yes, please. And if our audience would like to support you somehow or to get in touch with you and help you with whatever they can help you with the Period Protection Project, how they can reach you? You have a website, it's just through social media. Would you like just to give us some information?
Sure. For the Jaipur team, actually, I'm the team leader. So my Instagram page is shepensorshapes. If you Google that, or we have our official Instagram page for the Period Protection Project, which is called the Period Protection Project.
Okay.
And we also have a website in which you can find a donation link. You can also find a volunteer link. We can also have collaborations. We are currently looking. We are always looking for people who want to be with us. So if you're listening to this from any part of the India, if you want to lead a team, please join our hands. Or if you want to donate, please donate, because every single rupee helps this cause. And donation links is in my Instagram bio. And also in the Period Protection Project bio. So yeah.
Perfect. Amazing. Well, Priyanka, thank you. Thank you so much, really, for deciding to share your story with us, for the courage and the commitment that you're putting in this fight for period to raise awareness on period poverty. And I just can say, the only thing I can say is just like, keep up with the hard work. And I hope I can interview again in a few years or a few months, and you can tell me all about the amazing progress you made. So thank you again.
Thank you so much, Ilaria. It was wonderful. I hope to see you again.
If this was your first time listening to Wempower Podcast, thank you for taking the time. You can find us on Podbean and Spotify. Subscribe to our newsletter on wempower.co and keep up to date with all the future projects on all our social media at Wempower UK. Thank you to all the women out there that are following and supporting Wempower. I will continue to bring to you powerful, inspiring and positive stories from all over the world. Don't forget, together we empower women. This is Ilaria for Wempower Podcast. Until next time.